Chapter 22 The Jerboa's Tale.
"Nonsense!" exclaimed Bismarck. "That swamp-dwelling reptile will come to his senses in no time. I am his most valuable asset. You can't treat your talent this way."
The animals groaned. With Bismarck now trapped in the chambers, too, there was no one to fetch Ajax and Julian. They were stuck, just like before.
"You can't fit through that crack?" asked Ciro.
"Absolument pas," said the sugar glider. He placed his hands on his hips. "How many times must I say it? I'm not some pygmy flying squirrel. I am larger than I look, you know."
The coyote sighed. "Maybe Ajax and Julian will find us," said Tobin. "We shouldn't give up hope just yet, right?"
"Doubtful," said the sugar glider. "These caves are crazy, I tell you. Mazes, labyrinths, impossible to navigate without prior experience, that is."
"What can we do now? We're trapped here forever," Cora sobbed. The fox furrowed her brow. She had a plan. "Well, Bismarck can still prove of use." With a flourish of his cape, the sugar glider bowed.
"But of course I can, Foxy Dame. I am the most useful of the useful. Name anything, anything at all. A soothing song, a sweet caress. What do you desire, m'lady?"
"What I desire is information." She stepped toward Bismarck. "Tell us about this game."
"Ah, yes, the game," said the sugar glider. "Well, you see, it's all about balance, a delicate combination of pitch, tenor, and strength."
Tobin cocked his head. "Pitch?" he asked. "You mean throwing?"
"No, no, no, my scaly amigo. Pitch, as in key, notes, song. I am speaking of my role as announcer."
Dawn took a deep breath. "Bismarck, we need to know about the actual game. What happens on the floor out there?" Bismarck let out a disinterested sigh.
"As you know, mon amour, though I shall keep my explanation brief."
He raised a paw to his throat.
"Can't tax the vocal cords."
Cyril growled with impatience.
"Okay, okay!"
Bismarck shielded himself with his flaps.
"It's quite simple, really. There are six players on each team. Using the kiwis, they slide the tarantula across the floor. I think his name is Harry. Poor fella, always getting bruised up. But that's the game. To win, you must hit the spider into the goal more times than the other team. So far, it has been the kidnapped animals against the crocs, but the crocs have completely outplayed them. The mink, raccoon, and coyote are on offense. The honey badger and possum play defense. Wombats in goal."
"Wombat," cried Cora. "Is it Joe? Is it my brother?" Bismarck scratched his bald spot.
"Oi, yes, I think so. You both have that peculiar habit of shaking and quivering in difficult moments."
Cora sighed with relief. "That's Joe." The fox shook her head from side to side. "Poor animal," she muttered, "being used like this for sport."
"And the jerboas?" pressed Ciro.
"What about the jerboas?" a voice echoed from behind the boulder. The animals froze. "Who's there?" Ciro called.
There was a scurry of tiny feet. Two big floppy ears poked their way through the crack.
"Jerry?" Tobin asked.
"What do you want?" growled Ciro. "You've caused enough trouble here."
He stepped alongside Tobin. Jerry wedged the rest of his body through the tiny opening, then dusted himself off.
"Please," he began, "just let me explain."
Ciro snarled and bared his sharp teeth, but Dawn raised her paw. Jerry gulped.
"I know I've caused much disruption, much pain, but I've acted out of pure desperation."
The jerboa lowered his eyes to the floor. "Boris has all of us, almost every jerboa there is. Unless I do what he asks, he'll kill us all."
"I don't understand," said Tobin. "What is he making you do?"
Jerry clasped his paws at his chest.
"Boris is clumsy and large," he began. "He never could have pulled this off alone. He needed an accomplice. Someone small, stealthy, and swift. Someone who could locate the players in secret."
"So it was you," said the coyote. "You led the crocs to the valley. You knowingly put others at risk."
"Yes, yes," Jerry cried. "I led the crocs to their victims and watched as they dragged them into the river. I found them all. The kiwis, the mink, the coyote, the tarantula, the possum, the honey badger."
He glanced toward Cora. and the wombat.
Tobin took Cora's paw in his own.
And moi, cried Bismarck.
Yes, Jerry blubbered, you too. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know what else to do.
One day, the Crocs trapped us all inside our burrow. Then they marched us down here into these caves. Boris threatened to kill them if I didn't help him. My species is already endangered. If Boris killed them, we'd have no hope.
The Jerboa gulped.
We'd go extinct.
Oh, goodness, uttered Tobin. He shivered at the sound of that word. So final, so harsh.
The room was quiet.
But I know this is not an excuse, Jerry said. His voice was trembling as he wiped tears from his cheeks. I have betrayed my fellow nocturnals. I am a traitor of the night. Jerry broke down in sobs.
Ciro circled the room, then stood before the Jerboa.
I am sorry for your species' fate, he declared. But these are serious crimes you've committed.
The Jerboa sniffed and wiped his cheeks dry.
I know, he agreed. He raised his large eyes. That's why I've come to help.
You're here to help? Tobin asked.
Jerry nodded. Ciro eyed the Jerboa.
Haven't we learned not to trust him at this point?
Dawn straightened her spine. He's our only hope of escape, she replied. Plus, he can never prove himself worthy if he is not given the chance.
Ciro cast his eyes down at the floor.
I suppose we don't have much to lose.
Jerry, said Dawn, you can fit through that space, correct?
The Jerboa smiled.
With room to spare, he said.
All right, said the fox. Huddle in, everyone. The pack of animals whispered and plotted.
That should work, Ciro said.
Yes, agreed Jerry. I'll be back right away, the Jerboa spun toward the exit.
Jerry, called Tobin, before you go, I must say, I've noticed you're barely stammering.
Jerry bowed his head, trying to hide the sheepish grin, lifting his whiskers. That's because I'm telling the truth.
Then, with a flick of his tail, he ducked through the hole and ran off into the caves.